By and by, the attention ceased from him, and the accustomed school murmur rose upon the dull air once more. Presently, the boy began to steal furtive glances at the girl. She observed it, made a mouth at him, and gave him the back of her head for the space of a minute. When she cautiously faced around again, a peach lay before her. She thrust it away. Tom gently put it back. She thrust it away again, but with less animosity. Tom patiently returned it to its place, then she let it remain. Tom scrawled on his slate, "Please take it, I got more." The girl glanced at the words, but made no sign. Now the boy began to draw something on the slate, hiding his work with his left hand. For a time, the girl refused to notice, but her human curiosity presently began to manifest itself by hardly perceptible signs. The boy worked on, apparently unconscious. The girl made a sort of non-committal attempt to see, but the boy did not betray that he was aware of it. At last, she gave in and hesitantly whispered, "Let me see it." Tom partly uncovered a dismal caricature of a house with two gable ends to it and a corkscrew of smoke issuing from the chimney. Then the girl's interest began to fasten itself upon the work, and she forgot everything else. When it was finished, she gazed a moment, then whispered, "It's nice. Make a man." The artist erected a man in the front yard that resembled a derrick. He could have stepped over the house, but the girl was not hypercritical. She was satisfied with the monster and whispered, "It's a beautiful man. Now make me coming along." Tom drew an hourglass with a full moon and straw limbs to it and armed the spreading fingers with a portentous fan. The girl said, "It's ever so nice. I wish I could draw." "It's easy," whispered Tom. "I'll learn you." "Oh, will you? When?" "At noon. Do you go home for dinner?"
"I'll stay if you will."
"Good. That's a go. What's your name?"
"Becky Thatcher."
"What's yours?"
"Oh, I know. It's Thomas Sawyer."
"That's the name they lick me by. I'm Tom when I'm good. You call me Tom, will you?"
"Yes."
Now Tom began to scroll something on the slate, hiding the words from the girl. But she was not backward this time. She begged to see. Tom said,
"Oh, it ain't anything."
"Yes, it is."
"No, it ain't. You don't want to see."
"Yes, I do. Indeed, I do. Please let me."
"You'll tell."
"No, I won't. Deed and deed and double deed, I won't."
"You won't tell anybody at all? Ever as long as you live?"
"No, I won't ever tell anybody. Now let me."
"Oh, you don't want to see."
"Now that you treat me so, I will see, Tom."
And she put her small hand on his, and a little scuffle ensued. Tom, pretending to resist in earnest, but letting his hand slip by degrees till these words were revealed, "I love you."
"Oh, you bad thing."
And she hit his hand a smart rap, but reddened and looked pleased nevertheless. Just at this juncture, the boy felt a slow, fateful grip closing on his ear and a steady lifting impulse. In that vice, he was borne across the house and deposited in his own seat under a peppering fire of giggles from the whole school. Then the master stood over him during a few awful moments and finally moved away to his throne without saying a word. But although Tom's ear tingled, his heart was jubilant. As the school quieted down, Tom made an honest effort to study, but the turmoil within him was too great. In turn, he took his place in the reading class and made a botch of it. Then in the geography class and turned lakes into mountains, mountains into rivers, and rivers into continents, till chaos was come again. Then in the spelling class, and got turned down by a succession of mere baby words, till he brought up at the foot and yielded up the pewter medal, which he had worn with ostentation for months.